There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 6, Episode 64. Season 6 is winding down. I think we have four or five more shows left after this one as we wrap up November and head toward December. This will be the second Thanksgiving and second Christmas, second holiday season under the yoke of the novel coronavirus. And don't we all celebrate the fact that we're reliving it all from start to finish on the hit Apple television show, The Morning Show. It was fun watching what's-her-face rolling around in her bed. Rolling around in her bed and taking a shower and just suffering from the horrible, horrible disease that back when it started, nobody had any idea about it. But that was a good episode. She's such a good actress. This show, I mean, I'm not really into that show, but, you know, when I do watch it when the wife's watching it, you know, it's a good show. But it brings me to just one topic and then we can move on. Not the podcast with Autumn and Greg, but I like how Curb Your Enthusiasm is handling it as if it's way in the past. So instead of reliving it. Anyway, I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. This show always draw. We're recording it before Thanksgiving, but it'll come out afterwards. So I hope you are stuffed and have had plenty of turkey sandwiches and leftover pumpkin pie and all those wonderful things. Or if, you know, you're not into the turkey and, you know, you feel bad about all the turkeys that get murdered and you had a tofu, whatever, I hope you're eating leftover tofu on Wonder Bread or whatever you put it on. Slather it up with a lot of mayonnaise. Dustin, I wanted to ask you, how did that poll do on Facebook? What ended up being the winner?
Much like we thought, the poll ended up being dominated by Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It blew everything out of the water, even the WKRP, which was number two.
Okay.
We had the majority of the votes for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Had a good amount of votes for WKRP, and then it was slowly followed by the rest. Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, Son-in-Law was up there. Dutch, Home for the Holidays. It's Always Sunny did beat out the Cheers Thanksgiving episode.
Did. Oh my God, that shocks me.
But of course someone added in the ever familiar football in general, and it gained some votes as well. So that was the one new addition from last week.
Just football.
Yeah, just I don't watch TV. I watch football.
Yeah, I watch football on Thanksgiving. Hopefully all your teams won if you had a team playing on Thursday. I had a team playing, and I'm making your prediction since we're recording this on Wednesday and the game hasn't happened yet, but I bet you the Bills lose Thursday night, Thanksgiving evening. If they don't, I'm happy, but I'm pretty sure they're gonna. And, you know, the New England Patriots will win the AFC East and then subsequently win the AFC Championship game and go on to dominate for another 20 fucking years. Thanks a lot, assholes.
So Super Bowl prediction already?
Super Bowl prediction? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Packers and the Patriots, and the Patriots win. That's a bold statement to make because I don't know how well the Packers are going to do, but they seem to do okay most games. You know, everybody will say, "Oh, it's going to be the Rams," or "Oh, it's going to be Tom Brady and the Bucks." I don't think they're going to do it again.
You think they'll be able to pull it off without Brady?
Without Brady, I don't know. I don't think they have the same system. They don't have what the Patriots have had for two decades now, and that's of course Bill Belichick, and that's the long and short of it. They had one bad year. One bad year, and now they're back. So, whatever. I don't care. We could talk about it later, because we know it's not going to be the Bills or the Giants or whatever team Dustin roots for. You don't root for a team, do you? I guess the Falcons by default.
Titans.
Oh, the Titans. God damn it. Why do I always forget? Kick me in the balls. They had a chance, but now that they don't have Derrick Henry, well, you know. And people are like, when are you going to talk about TV or movies? I hate football. I don't like football either. I just like to talk about it. So we are going to do a Christmas bracket, all the ones we can think about. Classics, stuff from the early days of television and film. Of course, the classic 50s and 60s, the Rankin and Bass. We're going to do 70s, 80s, and 90s. All those great movies and TV specials that we watched every single year. We're going to put together a bracket, kind of whittle it down to 64 entries in different categories. You guys add to the document that I made anything you can think of. Right now, the brackets I have are classic Christmas movies, stuff like It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, the original, not the one with Dan Hartman from Good Morning America in the 70s, White Christmas with Bing Crosby, Scrooge from 1951, 80s movies, Scrooged, Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, Ernest Saves Christmas, Home Alone, things like that. And of course, the classic TV specials we all grew up with.
Rudolph. You forgot Die Hard.
Well, that's going to be in its own category. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I want horror. I want movies that are, you know, they're kind of parallel with, they take place around Christmas, but we'll call it contentious Christmas movies. So, Emma Otter's Jug Band Christmas, Yogi's First Christmas, all sorts of shit. But you guys add stuff to it so we can get this going. And we'll start it, I think, the first or second week of December.
Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol.
That one is really good. That one is very good. Jim Bach is still doing Mr. Magoo. Oh, Magoo. You piece of shit. Oh, Magoo. You shit yourself. Charlie, clean up my poop. It's hard to do. I can't do it. You know, I did Jim Backus better when I was a kid, and I thought I was pretty good at doing it, but I can't think. I can't do it anymore. Why, Mr. Magoo? It's my old buddy, Jed Cratchit. Was that his name? Bob Cratchit. See, I don't even remember anything. It's Bob Cratchit. You ain't going to clean my poop. Go find me the biggest goose. We were listening at work the other day to that song, Delicious. Do you know that song?
No.
Yeah, you've heard it before. It's Jim Backus and Friend. It's an old novelty record where Jim Backus and some lady are at a restaurant drinking champagne, and they just keep getting shit-faced. I even love the cork. It's delicious. Delicious. Champagne, my dear. Billy West did a good, Jim Backus, but he does good everybody. So yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. And hopefully we'll have people come out for our December 19th Christmas party or holiday party if you don't celebrate Christmas. But we'll have more on that next week when we solidify everything. And yes, Fuxi, I have a present that I will be ordering for you especially. And if you're listening, it'll be there. I saw Fuxi on Twitter today. He got his goodie package from Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. He got the lemon wedge, or no, the orange wedge.
Did the mailman throw it as naked butt?
I think so. he got a nice letter from Frank Sempopadre.
Yeah.
Little handwritten thing, which is cool. I haven't listened to in a couple of weeks because I've been doing the audiobook thing. Which we'll get to in my staff pick, but I'm doing rewatches. And when I have all that time off in December, I imagine I'll be doing a lot more of it. But I started listening to this book about the Kids in the Hall, which will be my staff pick later. And I said, well, you know, I haven't watched Kids in the Hall. There's certain shows I've never done rewatches. There's shows I've watched thousands and thousands of times, like The Simpsons or The Sopranos, or these shows that you can just continuously rewatch. The Wire I've watched, Battlestar Galactica, but I never went back and rewatched Kids in the Hall, like in order. And I've started doing that again, And it's amazing. All these sketches that were in the late 80s, the show premiered in 1988. And it's one of those shows that even though I wasn't watching TV back then, it's one of the shows that I tried not to miss. And then, you know, it was on Comedy Central all the time. So back when Comedy Central was just Kids in the Hall, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And what was that show called? Low Attention Span Theater or something like that. You remember that, Jeff?
Yeah. Short Attention Span Theater.
Yeah. So that's really what Comedy Central was. In fact, I think it was called the Comedy Channel. And then there was another one called Ha. And then they merged or whatever. But really how groundbreaking Kids in the Hall was. It's really it was the first super subversive show. And certainly for the Gen X generation. I mean, we had Monty Python, Saturday Night Live, SCTV, all that stuff that came before and inspired those guys, but this was ours. And, you know, we have grown up with them. They're older than us, but we're that same generation, you know? And so I'm really getting into it. I love watching those old shorts and the movies, and the book really helped me want to do that. And because of the current season of Curb, I decided to go back and rewatch Curb. That's a show I've never seen. I've never seen an episode of Curb more than once. I think I've watched the Seinfeld season a couple of times, but I started on season one, and it's so funny to me to see people that guest starred on, like Caitlin Olson, who has played throughout the seasons, has played Cheryl's sister. But in that first season, she looks like Britney Spears because she has short hair and it's 2000. So it's that makeup. And she really does. She looks just like, you know, Britney Spears. And how good the show was. And it's still good. This season's good. But just imagine how Larry David looks. Everybody looks old now. And they looked really young then. So, and one more show that I'm rewatching, and it's called Fridays, and I'm sure you guys know what it is, but if you don't know what Fridays is, it was a short-lived live comedy show that debuted on ABC in 1979. It was on, of course, on Friday nights, and it was their answer to Saturday Night Live. And I remember bits and pieces of it. I know I stayed up to watch it because they had cooler musical acts on than Saturday Night Live, and they had younger hosts and cooler hosts. So that's why I remember watching it, staying up to watch Kiss be on it or Boomtown Rats and shit like that. But Tubi, where I've been watching the Freak Brothers, I think they just put it on or put it on recently. It's called The Best Of, but it looks to me like they have, you know, edited episodes from every season. So I'm getting back into that. So if you want to talk about Larry David being young, he looks like Larry from the Three Stooges. You remember what he looked like with that hair?
Yeah, big curly hair, yeah.
Yeah. And Michael Richards, all skinny. And I think the first woman on TV that I ever thought, whoa, Melanie Chertoff. She did the news. And, you know, that show was subversive as fuck. You think 1979, and they're doing gay humor, but they're not making fun of the character being, you know, they're not making fun of the person for being gay. It's just they're talking about social issues that wouldn't be talked about on SNL for at least 5 to 10 years, and but doing it in a funny way, and just talking about drugs, like talking about weed and coke, and it was very different from Saturday Night Live, even though it was copying the format. And in the very first episode of it, everyone on the cast of Fridays is dressed up like a character on Saturday Night Live. So you have the one that pops to mind is Larry David is dressed up as one of the Blues Brothers. And they're introducing the cast. So if you're interested in that, that's on Tubi. But blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm doing, watching a lot of new stuff and watching an awful lot of old stuff. But here's one thing I want to know. Jeff, what did you think about Ghostbusters? Give us your review. Tell us about it. Did you see it too?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. But I don't care. I mean, try to do it without spoiling too much. But
yeah, I won't spoil anything. I'll just say it's fucking amazing. And it's the the Ghostbusters movie that they should have made instead of the Melissa McCarthy one.
Right.
And it pays tribute to the original, respects the original, and it keeps it canon. And
so it's a direct sequel then.
Yeah. And it's dedicated to Harold Ramis, and very, very, they handle the fact that he's no longer with us amazingly. It's very respectful of his legacy and him as a comedy writer, because he wrote the original.
Right.
With Dan Aykroyd.
Now, Paul Rudd plays his son.
Carrie Coon is his daughter.
Okay.
And Paul Rudd is kind of the Rick Moranis character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very funny. And those little miniature Stay Puft Marshmallow Man are hilarious.
Okay.
They give you a real Bratzy vibe.
Yeah, a little bit of the Bratzies.
How much do the original cast members play a part in this? Are
not,
they
not a lot?
But they're
they come in like the last act.
Okay, but they're there and they're a part. Yeah. All right. Do they explain why they're not around anymore? Why they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aykroyd is in it a little bit more. He's the first one that Harold Ramis's granddaughter reaches out to.
Okay.
When they discover all the shit that the grandfather left, like the Ecto-1 and all the equipment.
No Rick Moranis or Sigourney Weaver?
Sigourney Weaver's in at the end, in the after credits scene.
Okay.
With Bill Murray. Very good.
That's the one thing that got leaked that I saw. That was pretty cool. I like that little piece. Nice throwback to their first one. Yeah.
No Rick Moranis?
No, I think when they were making this, he still was not acting anymore.
Yeah, but then he got beat up.
Yeah.
By COVID on the streets of New York.
It's awesome, though, man. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, you'll love it. There's nothing. I didn't think anything was over the top or cheesy. I thought it was very extremely well done.
Is Larry Storch make an appearance?
No.
He's the Ghostbuster.
Yeah. He retired from acting too.
Yeah, well, he's 99 years old also.
No, just recently. Like,
oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Why? He wasn't getting the role?
He's like 100.
Yeah, I know he's old as fuck. I didn't know he was still working. I didn't know that when you're that old, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
That guy, what a career he had, Larry Storch. He was great on, you can find him on an old Gilbert episode. He's an interesting cat, that guy. You know, everybody that we know probably just knows him from
F Troop.
Well, F Troop. And then their show was called The Real Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something like that. I don't remember. And, but he was a voice guy. He did, when Mel Blanc left Warner Brothers, he did all the voices. And then Mel Blanc came back. But for a long time, he did a lot of the Warner Brothers voices.
And I always got him confused. The older in life that he got, I got him confused with Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
Yeah, well, they looked alike anyway.
Right.
I mean, they'd lift them up and swap places, and it would be Mickey Dolenz fighting the Hakawi. Speaking of retiring, the Monkees just finished their final tour and they're done. There's only two of them left, Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz, but Peter Tork having passed away. I said Mike Nesmith, right? I didn't say Davy Jones. Davy Jones died a while ago.
Yeah. A few years ago, yeah.
Because of Davy Jones that we got David Bowie, because David Bowie's real name is David Jones, and he had changed it to David Bowie because he wouldn't be confused with one of the Monkees, and that's just the way things work. Oh, so we're all over the place, but thanks for that. I want to see it, so hopefully I'll have a chance. Probably not this weekend, but I don't want to watch it streaming. That's a movie I want to see in the theater.
Yeah.
Go to that theater I go to, man. There was hardly anybody there.
Which one?
The one in Austell.
I'm not driving all the way to Austell. I'll go to Sandy Springs or down the street here. Austell's a hike. I do drive by that Regal off of Shallowford Road off of 85, which has like 12 theaters in it or something. It was always packed. That parking lot was always packed. It hasn't been packed in 2 years.
Right.
And I feel bad. It's like they don't take care of the grounds. It's like they could use it in a post-apocalyptic set without having to do anything.
That Stealth Theater is awesome, man. It's a short drive for me, just on the East-West connector.
Oh, yeah.
And, AMC? That's Regal.
Regal, okay.
And their customer service is really amazing now. Maybe because there's not that many people there, but they like bend over backwards to make you happy. They'll layer your popcorn if you ask them to.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Where do we go to see a movie where that happened?
AMC.
Yeah. Oh, we don't do that anymore. Fuck you.
I got a feeling that guy probably don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to sell your worthless fucking stock. Which theater was that? I forgot what movie.
Parkway Point.
Yeah. We don't do that. Okay. Well, enjoy your demise, assholes.
No, but this, they got a lot of seats and not a ton of people. There was maybe 10, 15 people in this is 2 o'clock on Saturday last week.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. All right.
If you're worried about going to a theater, that's a good one to go to because everybody's spread out.
Maybe I will watch the first two Ghostbusters films, get reacquainted with them, and then go see this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can skip the one with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't need to see that. I did start it once. I'm like, I need to do this.
It's a funny movie. It's a funny movie, but it's not a Ghostbusters movie.
No, they should have just titled it something else and went with it.
Ghoul Fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything.
It's such a shame too, because you had a great director who knows how to do comedy, and you had very talented cast of funny people. I guess it was hubris that killed it, maybe, or lack of editing. I don't know.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't acknowledge the original movies
it was lack of respect, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, you must show respect. Goddamn it! The Iron Sheik will make you humble if you don't show respect. Still one of the best Twitter follows of all time.
Yeah, I like his just random shit he just throws out there.
Good morning.
I thought Jason Reitman did a really good job filling in for his dad.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, everybody go see Ghostbusters. Jeff doesn't recommend things that suck generally. So, awesome. What else? Steph will be back with us next week. She is under the weather this week and probably has a lot going on at her house. She has a brand new bathroom, as we discussed last week. And I believe now she has a garage.
And she has a new foster.
Yeah. Yes, she does have a new foster. So she's busy, 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 but she'll be back next week. We're going to take a little break here, come back and do some news and shit. Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious euros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording. And more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that they went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was. But they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let you take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip. And then you can get it if you want to. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then. A good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And Dustin, hey, keep it Dustin in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see a 6'5" dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. But yes,
yeah. Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaGiro.com if you want to find out more about it. Look at the menu and try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I mean, I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
They make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure vegan pepperoni is delicious. But now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? And then it's sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than they used to be. That's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Don't bring
Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza in Nero. They're on Facebook, and they are, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. We are back. This is going to be a kind of a truncated show because it's the holiday and everything, but we wanted to get one in the can. Like Jeff likes it in the can. Dustin too. I like it. We all like it in the can. I don't really have a lot of next stories. I've been seeing a lot of Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian news every time I open up Twitter. I don't care about it. You know, go ahead, bang each other. I don't, you know, Pete Davidson, I used to hate for no reason other than he was always in the media, but he's funny. So I have to admit that. And he's really good. Have you watched the Freak Brothers yet?
No.
He's great in that. He's one of the funniest ones.
Did a great one of those music videos, like a digital short kind of thing on Saturday Night Live with Mark Cohn. And it was called Walking in Staten.
Really?
Staten Island, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had like Method Man show up and shit.
Was it as good as like the
Lonely Island Boys?
Yeah, the Lonely Island.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't know if it was Lonely Island quality, but I thought it was funny because they it's, you know, it's that song Walking in Memphis.
Yeah,
and then you're watching the whole thing and you go, I wonder what Mark Cohn thinks about this. And then they cut to him and he's like, do I want to be part of a Walking in Memphis parody? And he's like, I don't think so. And they're like, you already are. And then he starts singing with them.
That's cool. Something in the news. All right. So there's some movie news coming out. There's a Grateful Dead biopic coming out. It's going to be done by Martin Scorsese. So there's going to be a lot of gunplay and Italian mafia. Probably a lot of Rolling Stones music. Some blues. I think Robert De Niro is playing Bob. He's playing Bob Weir. But the big news right now is that Jonah Hill is going to be playing Jerry Garcia. So that means Jonah Hill is going to have to gain weight again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I heard it. I was like, damn it.
I saw a lot of people bitching about it. And the funniest tweet I saw was Jerry Garcia is a Hispanic icon. How dare they cast Jonah Hill? And I hope it was a troll. Because first of all, Jerry's dad is from Spain. Yeah, that kind of dispels that myth. But anyway, I think it's a good casting choice, don't you?
Yeah, he's a deadhead.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to CGI green screen his fingers.
Yeah. Oh,
that one finger.
Yeah, his missing guitar finger.
You can hold it like Jeff did that all night once when he missed Jerry. Just hold it.
Fold it over.
Oh, yeah, it's his right hand. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know who else is in it, have they said? Or is it just Jonah Hill right now?
That's all I've heard.
I wonder who's going to play Brent. You know what they ought to do? They ought to do what they did in Spinal Tap every time the drummer died. Because, you know, as the keyboardist, they always died. It's not funny, man. Don't make fun of the dead. I don't know how they're going to do a dead biopic. Is it going to be a series or just a film?
I don't know anything about what it's going to be. I imagine it's going to be a movie.
Yeah.
Scorsese doesn't do series usually.
To me, it would be like you'd want to do a series if you're going to do it, because the Dead aren't just, hey, we're touring through the 70s and everybody's getting high. They started in the early 60s, right? And then they have their childhoods and, you know, Jerry.
You could make a 6-part documentary about it or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Or so mix it up, do half and half. I don't know. My favorite, one of my favorite movies like that, where they really went above and beyond, was the one they did about Dylan. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but Kate Blanchett played him in one. Different people played Dylan.
It looks like they're going to go from the inception of the band to the 1995 death of Garcia.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it's going to span some years. Yeah.
I hope they spend a lot of time on the Wasserman era.
I hope they got footage of me passing out in the parking lot in Buffalo in 92.
Yeah, the guy that passed out look at him, he's falling right over. Just falling right over. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He did too many whippets. Look at him. And the other guy, he falls down. And then he's got to take the do-rag and go walk around looking for ice with blood dripping all over his face. It's crazy. It's nuts. last blockbuster to series. So what's this all about?
They're going to make a sitcom about the last blockbuster.
Oh, so okay. And it'll be cast with?
Randall Park is going to be one of the employees of the store.
Okay.
I like the movie, so I'll give the series a shot.
Yeah, why not? I think it'll be fun. It'll be on Netflix.
I think so, yeah.
Cool. And Jeff texted me this the other day. Different Strokes, The Facts of Life are going to get the live treatment. I bitch about this all the time. I don't know why they do it. I guess because of ratings and they're successful, but what's this one all about?
They're doing a Different Strokes episode and then a Facts of Life episode live.
So they're going to do the ones where Tootie is a model and the guy trying to get her naked. And then the Different Strokes will be the bike store.
I don't think they're doing very special episodes.
Why not? Why don't they do the bicycle store episode? I mean, just think about it. Who could play the Gordon Jump role in that episode if they did it live? Would you cast?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, man. $31 million.
He's going to make that $31 million somehow.
Yeah. $31 million. He should start a GoFundMe to help pay it off. Man, think about that. I bet he didn't have that kind of money laying around. Kevin Spacey, you think he's got $31 million laying around?
No. He's got a nice down payment on it, but there's no way he's got 31.
Yeah, no way whatsoever that does he have that. I mean, and then he did that in arbitration, so he has to pay it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Everybody keeps online or just going back and forth about, you know, why would he have to pay that? You know, afterwards they should have known. I'm like, it's none of these people ever hear of contract law. I mean, they're contracted to create a series until this date. Now he left, they still did what they needed to do to create the series and fulfill their end of the contract, so they weren't hung on the $31 million.
Well, he didn't voluntarily leave.
No, but he created the extenuating circumstances that led to his separation from the things,
but nothing will ever happen to him legally with what happened. I mean, they're just nothing but allegations. I'm not defending him, but everything is allegations except for the one actor guy. I think didn't he take him to court or something? Because there was a one case where somebody said that he hit on him, and then it ended up being all bullshit.
Right. You know? There was the one guy that was in Dazed and Confused that was in Rent. Yeah. And then, but the allegations that got him kicked off of House of Cards was actually him hitting on crew members during the four previous seasons of House of Cards. So it had nothing to do with his, you know, the allegations of things that happened earlier in his life. It was during that run of that show.
Did he assault people or did he just hit on them?
I think it was probably that, you know, heavy flirting thing that, you know, he was known for as far as getting close to people and saying things that were inappropriate, and, you know, same thing. I don't know if it was as bad as, you know, pulling it out and jerking it in front of people or anything, but
I don't see anything wrong with that as long as they say it's all right.
As long as they give permission. Yeah.
Right. Like with Louis.
But it fell within the, you know, the boundaries of the contract, and you know, that's just how that goes. But man, that's a lot of money to come up with.
A lot of scratch.
Anyway, back to Different Strokes.
Hey, yes. That's what I say about Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Hart is playing Will Arnold, and Damon Wayans is playing Willis.
All right, I might watch it just to hear Hart say what you're talking about. Yeah,
that's going to be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
I want to know what episodes they're doing there, but they always do classic episodes, right?
Well, it's got to be one with Mrs. Garrett, because then they'll have her in it in the spinoff.
Transition over.
Oh.
Do the one about the Gooch.
Yeah, well, the Gooch was in it more than once. Now, yeah, who is playing Mrs. Garrett? What's her name from The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, she was one of those people on that show that Mike TV liked.
Oh, yeah, The Leftovers. She's done a lot of things. She also made Flowers or whatever, first season of True Crime.
Oh, yeah, she was also in Hereditary.
But isn't that what they called it, Making Flowers? Or was it Making Butterflies or something?
I don't remember.
She was the creepy brother and sister in the first series of True Detective. Was it True Detective?
Oh, yeah, True Detective at the end. Yeah, the creepy killer at the end of the series.
Yeah, lived
in the house. Yeah, they were brother and sister.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and The Facts of Life, of course, is a spinoff of Different Strokes, so it would make sense if Mrs. Garrett is in both.
Yeah.
Girls, put on your outfits. You're going to have sex.
Joe, fix my motorcycle.
Hey, Joe wouldn't be on it, though. Well, maybe. I don't know. Depends. Joe, there was one season of Facts of Life where it was more focused on the school itself. Mrs. Garrett was just there, and you know, that was when Molly Ringwald was on it, and you know, it was a whole bunch of girls, and then they cut it down to what it became and what we grew up with. But that first season was completely different. You know, they showed the headmaster of the school, or the dean or whatever. John Lithgow playing Mr. Drummond, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's good casting.
It is good casting. I guess I'll suck it up. I don't know. I hate these things, but it's December 7th, so I may give it a view. Cursory glance and all that. All right, so let's talk about what we watched and do our staff picks. Jeff, why don't you go first?
I watched a bunch of Tiger King 2. Still not finished with it yet, but she killed Don totally.
It's very sympathetic. I watched the first episode and I get a feeling it's very sympathetic to the Tiger King.
Yeah, it's definitely leaning more his way.
He's out now, or he's not out, but he's in
North Carolina.
In a medical
facility, prison medical facility. Yeah.
I didn't know to what extent they went to get him pardoned or to try to get him pardoned by the president, President Trump. And they went up there. It was the worst possible day for them to be there.
Yeah.
They're on January 6th. And, you know, and the people that are there protesting are yelling at him, get out of here. Nobody likes you.
That was the best thing that could have happened to him.
No, but these fucking idiots are like the people that hated Mike Pence and, you know, they're all these nut jobs, but they don't like the Tiger King. Come on.
He was like, I think we just need to let's just go. Yeah, let's and then, like 10 minutes later, all hell broke loose.
I bet you they're not the people that are getting arrested or subpoenaed, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was funny that they're listening to this shit on the way home, like, oh, we dodged a bullet.
Yeah. Well, like his thing, he goes, I think they went a little overboard.
Yeah, I think I went a little overboard. It was nice. It is nice seeing some of those people that were in the first series. But again, that's one of those shows. I don't really remember it. You watched it once because it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. The show hits lightning in a bottle, like we said. And, you know, now it is what it is, but, I'm going to keep watching it. We enjoyed it. Go ahead.
I feel bad for that hitman guy. Cause he's like, I would trade places with Joe. I should be in jail and Joe should be out. I kind of just feel.
Yeah, they don't like the two guys that took it over either.
Guys are douches.
I hate I can't stand the one that's just titled businessman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big guy on his jet ski.
Yeah.
That guy just is a piece of shit.
That's the one with multiple wives.
No, this is the guy that ran the store that had nothing in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and he walked into that one place and. Like takes a picture with that lady. It's like laughs at himself. Like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Yeah.
I used to be a piece of shit. I'm not anymore. Yeah. I think the baby
sloppy steaks.
Yeah.
I watched
Slickback, White Car.
I watched Tomorrow World Series of Poker on CBS Sports. Star Trek Discovery came back. I watched the first episode of season 4. Still good. It's worth getting Paramount Plus just for that. I finished Foundation season 1.
I'm a few behind on it. Did it end well?
Yeah, it ended pretty well. Left it wide open for more. I don't know how many books there were. They left it wide open to they could go a ton of different directions. So I don't know. I don't know the source material well enough to say what's going to happen, but it could go several seasons like The Expanse, I think.
Yeah.
Morning Show season finale. I watched that.
Was that the one I was talking about?
Yeah.
The finale. Okay.
I watched Chucky 5 and 6 on Sci-Fi. Jennifer Tilly's finally on.
Mm-hmm.
And they got what's his name? Brad Dourif's daughter is on it now too.
Oh wow.
Yeah, she's playing like Chucky has inhabited her body.
Yeah.
Instead of the doll. So like Jennifer Tilly's making out with her and stuff. It's pretty weird, but it's fun. It's gotten more fun than it was maybe the first 5 episodes.
They killed off all the Gen Zers yet?
They've killed off a bunch of them.
Okay. Maybe I'll jump back into it. They're all on my DVR. I'm just waiting again.
I watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on HBO. That was really good. The Foo Fighters and the Go-Go's and a bunch of other people. That was real good. And Paul McCartney singing with the Foo Fighters at the end was real good. I wish there had been more of that.
How was Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing her too much. Taylor Swift was there.
Taylor Swift is talented. I don't really care for her music, but she's talented.
I watched Monday Night Foosball.
I love watching those Manning.
Yeah, games. That was a good one. They had Bill Parcells on, but Giants lost.
Yeah.
Attack of the Show is back. G4 is back, if you have Comcast anyway.
I heard about that. Eric Von Hessler was talking about that. He said they look old.
Yeah, everybody looks old.
They're trying to keep up that same level of energy too that they had.
Yeah.
And it just to me it doesn't come across as good as when they were younger. It seems like they're just Kevin trying Burr to
is a really good interviewer though, because he like actually listens to what the people are saying. Like with a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this sometimes myself, but while the person's talking, you're thinking about what your next question is going to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're looking at your document to see what your next question is supposed to be. You're not really listening to what they're saying. But when he interviews somebody, he actually, it's all that is going on in his brain at the same time, but he's still listening to what they're saying. So his interviews are fantastic. So it's worth just to watch him interview people. He did an hour or hour and a half with Adam Savage when the network came back.
That's cool.
Yeah, no talk of the accusations. I guess that whole thing disappeared.
They probably wouldn't bring it up.
No,
I was going to say it's probably a no-go.
I'm still watching Yellow Jackets on Showtime.
Oh.
That's pretty good. It's weird. I don't know what's going on yet. And Dexter, sticking with that, enjoying it.
Yep.
It got a little silly this week, but it was still good.
Yeah.
I mean, some plot holes. You're like, what? Okay, but I don't care. It's good.
Yeah. It definitely makes up for that last season and episode.
Oh, hell yeah.
I watched the Psych movie, number 3, on Peacock. Those Psych movies are fun to watch. I was into that show when it was on USA Network. And my staff pick is The Beatles Get Back. Starts on the 25th. Peter Jackson's documentary about the Beatles. It's like 4 parts.
Yep. I'm going to watch that.
It's fucking awesome.
I restored all that footage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to use Weta one more time before he sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Thank you, sir. I watched, I just got back into the movies that made us. I watched the Halloween episode. That was really good. There's stuff I found out that I didn't know about it. Like I didn't know that there was, I think the first film to use Steadicam. I always thought it was The Shining. No, The Shining.
Oh.
But it was Halloween.
I forgot I was watching that Star Trek Center Seat. Mm-hmm. It's on History Channel. That's every episode is like an episode of the movies that made us, where they're like
Star Trek Center Seat.
Yeah. Every episode's like one of those movies that made us. Like the first episode talks about the origin of the series. The second episode talks about the animated series.
That's on History Channel?
Yeah, the History Channel. And the third episode talks about the motion picture and then up to Star Trek 4.
That's as far as it goes?
As far as it's gone so far. But there's more episodes. It's going to keep going. It's going to do everything.
Oh, cool.
And all the series and everything.
I didn't know about it.
It's fun. Like the movies that made us, how they, you know, there's like a narrator and says, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But we were supposed to do this. And then they like cut to a graphic or whatever. And it's very much like that.
Yeah. I forget about things like the movies that made us. It's such a good show and it's well done. And it really covers it in a way that you can digest without, you don't have to be like a super film buff. So I didn't know about the Star Trek Center Seat.
Yeah.
So
and if you like movies that made us, you'll like the Star Trek one.
I like it even though it's because it's Star Trek. So
yeah.
Yep. I'll watch
it. It made me want to watch the animated series, which I never did.
You never watched that?
No.
The original one?
I watched that. Yeah, I liked it. It's been a long time, but I watched it.
Apparently, a lot of people liked it. And I guess it won an Emmy and shit, but I think it only went one or two seasons.
It had their voices, too.
Yeah. That's what the whole second episode of Center Seat is about. About how
they had an animated series, too, which is pretty good.
I do remember that one.
So Tiger King, I watched the first episode. I'm behind a week on Invasion. So next week when we record, I'll be all caught up. But I the last one I watched was the one we were talking about last week. Curb remains funny. It was great. The whole yelling out the Japanese sushi chef stuff was funny. And the umbrella, the stories are fun. You know, I love that they're doing it and just having fun doing it. You know, I don't see an overall story arc. Like most seasons have, but well, maybe selling the show, Young Larry, but it was good. Right. Let's see. Dexter, we talked about, is pretty good. Storage Wars, I went through five. You're right. No Barry yet. What the hell? They're selling it as a Barry Weiss is back.
This week, what's his name? Yeah, Barry Weiss. He did his little talk show for one episode and then he went to the auction on the next episode.
All right. Why did he leave in the first place? Do you remember?
I don't really talk about it. I think he just didn't want to do it anymore because he wasn't like really doing it. He was just on it because he could be on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
He wasn't like an auction guy, a storage auction guy.
He's just an odd collector
in his life. Yeah. He just liked finding weird shit. And I guess he just got tired of it. Yeah.
And Dave, he's been off for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I think they all kicked him off the show.
Yeah. Why? Was he too big of a dick?
Yeah, because he was an asshole.
Yeah, he was.
Daryl, I like. I like that he's still on it.
He found some really cool shit a couple weeks ago.
What did he find?
I forget what all it was, but it ended up being really valuable.
Yeah, it might be the last one episode I watched. Who's that guy I said I liked a lot? Kenny, I love that guy.
When they do the Barry Weiss talk show, Kenny is his Ed McMahon.
Cool. I just like the way he talks. I like his right chair. And he has these little ticks and stuff, the way he talks. Yeah. He's really a cool dude. Everybody on that show I like. I never really liked Jared, but I like him now that he's not with Brandy. And she brings different people with her that I've seen before. Yeah, Jared definitely looks better. I mean, would he lose everything? He didn't have a store anymore. I don't know. I guess they
closed their store before they got divorced.
Well, they were never married, were they?
Oh, well, what they split up.
Or he beat her up in a bar. I can't believe what happened. It must not have been that bad because he's still on the show. So But anyway, it's a fun show to just put on and watch. And you know, the cast is good. I can't talk enough about the Freak Brothers, man. I love that show.
I gotta get this Tubi thing.
It's free. The series is free. You just watch a commercial at the beginning, and then there's one in the middle.
That's how Peacock is.
And Fox produced this. It's Fox owns Tubi, but you know, like I said, you got these three hippie guys. It was a 60s cart, a comic book. And I used to have the, you know, the books, you know, they put all the comic books in them, the anthologies.
It's Woody Harrelson and
John Goodman, Woody Harrelson. And Pete Davidson play the three primaries. And then you have the cat who's voiced by, God, what is her name? She's Tiffany Haddish. Is that how you say
Tiffany Haddish, yeah.
Tiffany Haddish. Funny as shit. She is so hilarious in that role. And this week, they have, they go after Amazon and Jeff Bezos. And they have a guy playing Jeffrey Tambor, but he's dressed. I mean, it really has that Family Guy fuck it mentality right. When it comes to going after celebrities, because Jeffrey Tambor's character is dressed as his transparent character. And then you have Mrs. Maisel's on there because it's all about Amazon and going into space. Right. And it's fucking great. And there's lots of drug references. So it's a funny show. I highly recommend it. And that's, you know, Tubi. It's like you can watch Carson's comedy classics. So the other night, I'm like, all right, I'll watch this old Carson episode where he's really creeping out Anne Margaret. your lip gloss is strawberry. It was basically him just going, God, I want to fuck you. It was so uncomfortable, but I like to, it's a piece of history, so I like to watch that stuff. But then I, you know, it turns up, hey, why don't you, it recommended Fridays. And I've been obsessed with that show since I was a kid. You can't really find it anywhere. Now you can. You're never going to find any of the unedited episodes, but I can't wait to get to the episode with Andy Kaufman. So let's see. My stat pick is a book. It's called The Kids in the Hall, One Dumb Guy by Paul Myers, who is Seth Meyers' brother. And it's just a biography of the troupe from their beginnings all the way to about 2018 or whatever. The book came out in 2020. Of course, they're not talking about they've already shot or they've been working on the next season of the show. I couldn't find any information as to when it's coming out. But
no, I think they shot it already.
Yeah, it's been shot. They started it last spring.
Yeah.
But they talk about Death Comes to Town and the trouble they had with Dave Foley when they were making the movie and he didn't, you know, this, all that stuff that you may or may not know about, but really that show to me takes me back to a certain era where I was when it came out, where I was when I was watching it all the time. And really that being the first Gen X, you know, comedy troupe show, you know, sketch comedy show. And then of course you have Mr. Show with Bob and David, and then you have Upright Citizens Brigade and stuff, but that's for millennials too. This is like pretty much just for us. And I love that. So anyway, I highly recommend it. And that's my stuff. Dustin.
Cool. Well, let's see. I watched Invasion. I've watched the most recent one. I actually watched it.
They showed one of the Squidbillies this week.
Yeah. Oh, they show a few of them. Yeah. A little bit more about how they function, which is kind of interesting.
Do they talk about a piece of whatever that killed one of them?
Yeah, the black plastic looking stuff.
Yeah, and how the hell the kid had it?
I think I remembered he picked it up before they left their house at the very beginning and stuck it in his backpack. And I was wondering if that's what they're following. If they're, I thought they were tracking them maybe with it because he had it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what the significance of them only being able to be killed by that is, but we'll see. I tried to watch Hellbound. Was that Viewers or Snooze last week?
I heard that was supposed to be really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's become, they're saying it's the next Squid Game as far as people are really digging it. But yeah, man, it is. To me, it's just clunky. I mean, really? Yeah, the premise, I guess, is that there's a if you're a sinner and you get a phone call that tells you when you're going to die or when they're going to come for you. And then at that moment, exact moment, wherever you are in the world, these giant golem looking things appear and basically kill you and take your soul in, and it doesn't matter where it's at in public or anything. They just come after you. And the CGI on it looks a little rudimentary. It just doesn't look very good at all. It looks like a bad version of what was that guy in the Batman animated series, the mud the mud guy, the wasn't Sandman, I don't think, but it was the one that was made out of mud.
Mr. Poop?
I forget his name. I'll find it. But yeah, they look like them. They look like these big golem looking things. They chase you around and they beat you, you know, they just beat you to a pulp and then pull your soul out. Well, it starts this religious movement in Korea where you have this one guy that is a leader of this religious movement that's trying to tell you that, you know, if you're a sinner, you have to repent or this will happen. But it's all public. So it becomes this giant thing where if you get called, you go to the center of town and like everybody comes to their windows and watches it happen. Like they count down to the second. And then when it happens, they appear and come after you, which sounds in premise like it'd be really cool. But watching it, it's just like a bad late 90s sci-fi movie off Sci-Fi Channel. That's what it looks like. So I'm not really, you know, impressed with it, but everybody else seems to be. I also watched The Trip on Hulu. This is a movie with Noomi Rapace from and also Axel Henny. He was one of the main characters in The Martian, one of the astronauts. It's a film where a married couple are basically trying, they have a plan to kill each other because they hate each other so much. And they go to this cabin that they have. And while they're in the middle of trying to kill each other, these escape convicts have escaped and come to their cabin and are hiding in the cabin while this is going on. And then it all kinds of comes together and they have to, you know, fight for themselves against these convicts. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a, I guess a Norwegian or Icelandic movie, or maybe Swedish, somewhere around there. But it's kind of meant to be like one of those 90s Tarantino kind of movies, kind of, but really violent, really kind of. The story kind of jumps around like a Tarantino movie, as far as it's not a linear storyline. It jumps from the beginning to the end to the middle. But it's kind of fun to watch and it's on Hulu. It's called The Trip.
Okay.
Watch Tiger King, Dexter up to three. My staff pick is going to be Clerk. It's a documentary on Kevin Smith and basically everything that got him from, you know, the writing of Clerks to now. And it was made by Malcolm Ingram, who is a longtime friend of Kevin's, has done a lot of indie movies that Kevin has, you know, helped produce or work with, you know, over the years. So it's kind of a documentary made by, you know, one of the inner circle of Kevin's. So it's not really from an outside perspective. It's more from a, you know, from very much from Kevin himself kind of putting everything out there. And if you're a Kevin Smith fan, like me and Jeff, it's kind of one of those things. I'm sure we know probably everything that's going to be in the documentary, but
no Ming in there,
but no Ming in it, in there. And I think there's a few things about this when it was made, that have some explaining to do, as far as, I think it'll probably come out in the Kevin Smith community when more people see it. But we'll have to see. It's on VOD right now. The actual DVD release, which was supposed to be, and some people got them. They were shipped out this week, but there was a problem with the shipping, and they left out 5 minutes of the documentary somewhere in the middle. And the DVD box art is also messed up. So they're actually recalling it and putting it back out. So I'd say a good couple of hundred got out there. So those will be nice little collector's items for that community. But it's called Clerk, a documentary, and it's on Vudu is where I'm getting it from.
Why were you saying, you have in your notes here that this guy Malcolm is a douchebag? So I want to know
that. That's what Ming and I, we after Kusikon, we went to that Growler bar.
Uh-huh.
I was asking him if he ended up being in Clerk, and he said no. And he talked about a little about why him and Malcolm don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
and just made me think, like, you're leaving out a whole part of the story if you don't interview Ming.
Right. Yeah.
Ming was like the first fan of Kevin Smith, create a website and get the whole online community into Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like basically responsible for his fandom. You know what I mean?
What's this thing about the masks?
He toured around with the movie.
Okay.
And he posted this thing where like halfway through the show, he left because people weren't wearing their masks in the front row.
Yeah. He was told that everyone would wear their masks inside. And that was the rules for that show. And then when he saw people starting to disregard it, instead of asking them to adhere to the rules, he just kind of took his ball and went home.
Yeah.
Well, some people don't like to be confrontational.
Well, that's never a problem for Malcolm. he is Mr. Confrontation sometimes, but yeah. I mean, he's a great filmmaker. The stuff that he makes is really good. But yeah, some of his politicizing of things can get over the top sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dustin. Everybody, check that out. I've got some people to say goodbye to in the Who Died segment of the show. Jeff Johnson, who was on the Tiger King. He was the lizard guy. He was 58 years old. Peter Aykroyd, Dan Aykroyd's younger brother, 66 years old. He was a cast member. He was a writer. He did movies. He's been in a lot of stuff. And let's see, David Frischberg, 88 years old, who wrote a bunch of Schoolhouse Rock songs, including I'm Just a Bill. Everybody knows that one. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only that one. And Gavin O'Herlihy, who is known as Chuck Cunningham on the first season of Happy Days. He was replaced by a different actor, and then that character was written out of the show. 70 years old, but you will recognize him from a ton of movies. If you Google Gavin O'Herlihy and look at his face, you go, oh, yeah, I remember him. Superman 3, Twin Peaks, and on and on and on. He was that guy, but he had a very long career. And rest in peace to all those people. So before we wrap up the show, let's do views or snooze.
Hello, America. Once again, it's time for your favorite pastime. Which one will they choose? Play along with this week's edition of Views or Snooze. Take it away, Jeff. All
right, views or snooze. Number one, The Wheel of Time. This is that Amazon epic fantasy series based on, was it Robert Jordan books?
Yeah, a series of books. It's like 10 books or something. It's a big series.
Yeah.
I'll views it. Just I think it will be now this is the same Amazon, so it's the same company that's doing the Lord of the Rings series as well. So it might give you some idea of the scope and production value maybe going into Lord of the Rings. It's kind of like Foundation. I mean, it's a lot of people have taken things from Wheel of Time. So I'll give it a views.
I'm going to give it a views too. I haven't heard anything yet about it. So.
Well, let me know after you watch it. I'm on tentative. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look askew.
Number two is Hawkeye on Disney Plus, started this week. It looks really good.
Yeah. I'll views it. It looks, it looks good.
Me too.
It's supposed to be 2 years after Endgame.
A lot of people are saying that this is the best Marvel show that's been made so far.
And it's Christmas themed, so which is kind of cool.
All right, I'll view it.
The last one, number three, is it's called The Humans. Nobody else has Showtime but me, but I'm going to view it. Let me read you some of the cast.
Okay.
Amy Schumer, Bernie Feldstein, Steven Yeun, Richard Jenkins, June Squibb. It's like a family get together in a tiny New York City apartment for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some places are listing it as a horror movie, and some places are listing it as a comedy movie.
Okay.
It's really bizarre. Just that cast alone makes me want to watch it. I like Richard Jenkins in anything he does. And June Squibb's great.
And
Amy Schumer. Jonah Hill's sister.
I don't know. I'm going to probably snooze.
Yeah, you don't have Showtime anyway.
Yeah, I love Richard James.
I'll give it a views.
Yeah, I think it looks interesting. That's the last one.
All righty. All right. So, guys, remember, if you're looking for an animal, like a cat or a dog or a parrot, well, maybe not a parrot, but if you're looking for a cat or a dog, specifically a dog, more likely a dog, go to Barkville Dog Rescue, barkvilledogrescue.org. That's the URL, is it?
Yes.
That's right. barkvilledogrescue.org. There's lots of stuff going on. Buy a raffle ticket. Support animals like dogs. And remember to adopt and not shop. So until next week, please remember to keep it canon. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers. And we have a slew of them. And I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
The former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier, but it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
It is the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean. Yeah.
And shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dive. another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much. Yeah. Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween-themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get to this year. John Sutherland, a great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a Kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed or put in glass. It was really cool.
He was great in MASH too.
Yes, he was. He was really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
chef.
And he's awesome. And
there we go.
Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. If you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels and those levels change from time to time, but what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our t-shirts. So now would be a good time, because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new t-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.